Chapter 12 Being Under the Sky Do not be afraid of the rain. As a human being, do not be afraid of criticism. Dear Prawn, Another major cause of anger is intolerance to criticism, reprimand, censure, and gossip included. We tend to think of ourselves as superior to everyone else in one way or another. When we hear someone criticizing us with remarks that go against our beliefs, this crossing of opinions between what we believe and what the others say quickly stirs up anger in the bottoms of our minds. If we cannot constrain and restrain our temper in time, the consuming fire of anger will manifest itself, causing us to flare up into a seething flames, which may lead to a verbal war or a street fight. Under such a circumstance, what should you do? How can you find a way out of this abject situation? I would like to cite an example of our great teacher's demeanor as recorded in the scripture. A Brahmin had a beautiful young daughter. Young and old men, who were enchanted by her ravished beauty, wanted her hand in marriage. Each day that went by, the Brahmin did nothing but worry about his daughter's prospects. Her suitors include kings, notables, and wealthy men from near and far. But he could not bring himself to give consent to marrying her off to anyone. In short, he could never find anyone to be the right match for his worthy daughter. One day, the Brahmin saw the Buddha at the edge of the forest. The moment he laid eyes upon the Blessed One, he was awestruck by the radiant grace of His Holiness. He rushed home to bring his wife and daughter for an audience with him. Upon their arrival at the site, there was no one to be found. A search led them to his footprint upon the ground, which has remained after he had left the place. Seeing the footprint, the Brahmin's wife became enlightened with the notion that her husband was wrong in thinking of giving away their daughter to this holy man. This was not the footprint of an ordinary man, but of one who was free of carnal desire and all defilements. The Brahmin took no heed of his wife's view, but continued to search for him. When his pursuit brought him to an audience with the Enlightened One, he immediately offered his daughter's hand in marriage and dedicated her to his service. The Buddha has anticipated this moment, so he said, Brahmin, I have seen many more beautiful women than your daughter, even Mara's temptress daughters. Lust, passion, and aversion. But I have never fallen for anyone before. So what do you expect for your daughter, whose body is full of filth, such as feces and urine? Let me tell you that I have absolutely no desire to touch even the toes of your daughter. The Brahmin's daughter felt so insulted by his words of rejection that she immediately snapped, vindictively vowing revenge from the depths of her heart. Never mind the fact that this monk does not desire me or find me attractive, but he has insulted me so spitefully that I will never forgive and forget. In time, I shall get back at him as he so richly deserves. While the daughter was seized with fury, her parents gained enlightenment at the anagami level, the third stage just before reaching ultimate deliverance in Nibbana. They saw through the futility and worthlessness of beauty, and they let go easily of their clinging to outward appearance. After which they gave custody of their daughter to her uncle and became ordained in the monkhood. They reached Nibbana soon after. After this incident, the Brahmin daughter looked for every opportunity to get back at the Buddha. The day she was waiting for finally came when she became the wife of King Udaina of Kosambi. One day, the Buddha was on pilgrimage to the city. As soon as she heard the news, she made preparation for welcoming him by hiring no fewer than 500 townspeople to follow him around, hurling foul and angry words at him every step of the way, wherever he went in Kosambi. The verbally abusive mob fully earned the wages they had been paid for working at full steam and full time. They follow him around, hurling a torrent of derisive and hostile language, but the Buddha took it with remarkable calm, torrents, and equanimity. It was just like throwing eggs at a rock, or hurling feast at the moon in the sky. However hard they tried, it was all in vain. Not only did they get no response from the Buddha, but they became exhausted from their own ranting and raving. However, while the Buddha took no offense, his retinue, who was still in the preliminary stage of Sotapanna, the first of the four stages to Nibbana, such as the Venerable Ananda, who was the Buddha's half-brother, felt indignant and humiliated. Wherever they went, a mob of hundreds of foul-mouthed townspeople followed them around, like hungry vulture, scavenging on crops. One day, the situation being thus, Ananda lost patience and asked the Buddha to escape by leaving the city. "Where shall we go, Ananda?" asked the Blessed One. "To another city, Your Grace," replied his brother. "If we escape to another city and they still follow us, where can we go then?" "We will have to escape to yet another city, Your Grace." "Ananda, it is not wise to avoid a problem in such manner. The right thing to do is to deal with it wherever it happens and let it end there." "Ananda, I am like a war elephant going on the battlefield. An elephant at war must endure hardships, from arrows hurling all round. So must I. I must endure such foul words from wretched people. One who can endure such slanderous and spiteful words from despicable people is to be commended as the greatest man amongst men. Ananda, do not be weary. These people shall continue slandering on us for no longer than 7 days. On the 8th day, they shall stop of their own accord." True to his prediction, that was what exactly occurred. When one has torched the sky and the sky does not burn, who can possibly go on in vain with the pain and effort for months or year on end? Eventually, the howling mob dispersed and wended their separate ways. "Pran, I know you will have enjoyed listening to this account. I can encapsulate the example of the Buddha's approach into a common saying. Being under the sky, do not be afraid of the rain. As a human being, do not be afraid of criticism. The tenet of wish is not unlike a poem I used to recite when I was a novice. As a human, you must stand being excoriated. Whatever you do is subject to criticism. You do good, and they'll call you unbent. You do ill, and they call you unstraight. Or another poem I remember without having had to memorize it, by rote, since I was impressed that I remember it by heart. Bad-mouthing is like splashing water. As with a knife, slicing at a rock, it cannot hurt you. Even a Buddha statue can be sullied. So how can a man escape malicious tattlings? Prawn. I suppose the fact that the Buddha always maintained his equanimity is because he was completely above all defilement, so that he was not affected by any worldly consideration, be the praise or censure. Consequently, he could withstand castigation with absolute calm. But when his brother Ananda tried to persuade him to escape, he reveals with as true discernment to Ananda a treasure trove, which I think will be of great advantage to us in dealing with anger. These views are what you should learn to adopt. 1. Even the most perfect, blameless human being, such as the Buddha, was the target of anger and verbal abuse. Who are we to escape reproach and censure? Such attitude will considerably abate our arrogance. We will no longer let our ego suffer from the other's censure. 2. You should contemplate the truth that censure, admonition, blame, criticism, or gossip are common occurrence in the world. As the Buddhist proverb says, Nati loke anintito. Nobody in the world can escape censure and gossip. What is uncommon is when you lose your senses and dance along with the tune of abusive words, or sometimes lose your temper unforgivably and curse back in foul language until it gets blown up into a quarrel of uncontrollable proportions. Hence, when you are severely criticized, censured, or maligned, instead of becoming blinded by rage, taking offense, or raging back, you should open up your mind, be tolerant, and accept the spiteful word with calm and a sense of humor. You should see it as normal. Anyone born into this world is likely to meet such challenge one day or another, in one way or another. Keep reminding yourself of the proverb, being under the sky, do not be afraid of the rain. As a human being, do not be afraid of criticism. Or teach yourself that censure and criticism are their province, but tolerance is ours. Keep reciting these words, and you will be able to accept censure and criticism with a smile. 3. In criticizing, censuring, or talking behind our back, one must have thought quite hard about the possible consequences of his words. So, you should accept the criticism with discernment, since it is possible that you may find some precious stones buried in those otherwise unwelcome words. 4. You should acknowledge any censure, criticism, or spiteful gossip with gratitude for the attention and time the other party has taken to spend on you. And it is not all. They have even gone so far as to dedicate their time and effort and have tried to be an all-round mirror to reflect your flaws from every perspective. You will now be able to detect your mistakes as reflected in their views. Whatever wrong you have done should be considered as an asset of your self-appraisal. If you were really at fault, it is time for you to fix it. If you were not, you should be able to maintain an impartial position, acting like a war elephant on the battlefield, putting up with verbal arrows hurling from all directions through to the end. It is not your part to respond verbally or emotionally. Five, you should take criticism, censure, and gossip as an exercise in testing the progress of your transcendental practice. If you make substantial progress, you will see that no one, not a single soul, deserves your retaliation or vindictiveness. There are only those to whom you should extend your loving kindness by leading them out of their greed, anger, and delusion. Those who offended you or are offended by you should be elevated at the same level as humans who are in need of self-improvement by means of drama. Whatever kindness and generosity you extend to a vicious person, you should be as kind and generous to your offender and offendee, in order that both parties will be able to avoid the snare of anger. You should step over to the other side of non-anger and peaceful coexistence, according to the Buddhist teaching. Overcome anger with non-anger. Overcome evil with good. Overcome penny pinching with giving. Overcome deception with honest words. Your t-shirt.